Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, to please go to Apple Podcast and rate our podcast and leave a comment or two. The podcast is now available on Google Play as well as Spotify, with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and follow, subscribe, and all that good stuff. You can also check us out on our website for previous episodes at ICBWPodcast.com. That is ICBWPodcast.com. And here's a reminder, we're still picking random listeners on a weekly basis who leave comments and rate us on iTunes or connect with us on social media and share our content. The winners will get a prize pack that includes one of our t-shirts and some other merchandise that I know that you're going to love, because I will not give you shit that you can't use. Now, without further delay, let's get this thing rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, who's a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner at Podcast Crime, Reg. What is the deal, player?
What's up, Fresh?
What's going on with you?
I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, man.
Oh man,
that's good with you.
I'm still the same, man. Still looking good. You know how it is, man. I can't help myself, man. Just looking good, man.
All right.
How you like that humility?
You know, you got me stunned here. Like, okay, all right.
You know, man. So what's good with you, man?
Says the man in the mirror, and I'm ready to talk to this brother today, man.
Yeah, but we got a real special guest, man. We have Charles Crouch on the phone with us today, man. He is a great author. He's a poet. He's a musician. He's a speaker. He's a fatherhood advocate. His son Jordan is a social media superstar. And is one of the individuals that made me stop making music, man. I saw Jordan, man. I just threw all my shit away. I was like, man, you know, like I don't have a chance in hell because Jordan is killing the game, and he's only what, six now, Charles?
Yeah, he's six.
He's six, and he's killing it. And I'm just like, man, I'm damn near 50. My game is over. My game is over. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Charles Crouch. He's here to talk about his book, A Cape with Holes, How to Be a Superhero Daddy. This is a great book. Some people have already received this in their prize packs. It's getting rave reviews on Amazon, on social media, everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Charles to the show. We're clapping for you, man. We're clapping for you.
What's going on, fellas?
Man, hey, look, we can't call it, man. We happy to have you. And we definitely want to get into this book with you, man, because this is a great book. It's an inspiring book. It's a book that's going to touch a lot of people, man. So we just want to just jump right into it, man.
And just starting off, just tell us a little bit about yourself, Charles.
What's going on, fellas? First of all, thank you for this opportunity. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. Follow you guys faithfully.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. So I'm originally from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, affectionately known as Trey Four. Like you said, I'm a musician, writer, poet, father before any of that. I attended Mount Tabor High School. Then I went to North Carolina Central University, majored in psychology. And I like cultural stuff, man. I like anything dealing with the arts and, you know, I watch a lot of news. That's about it. Probably too much, but yeah.
That news can get depressing, man. That news can get really depressing.
Especially now. You're absolutely right, Fresh. Right. Yes, sir.
Right.
But that's it, man. You know, pretty simple guy. you know, with dreams and, you know, just want to make the world a better place, man, one word at a time.
Right.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. But, hey, let me ask you a question as it pertains directly to the book, man. What actually inspired you to write this book? And once again, the name of it is A Cape with Holes, How to Be a Superhero Daddy, man. And what inspired you to write that? And tell me a little bit about the title as well.
So, as you mentioned earlier, man, my son, who is a producer in his own right, he went viral about 2 years ago when he was four. And in the videos, you know, you would see him doing his beats, and, you know, and people were hitting me up like, hey, man, your son is dope, blah, blah, blah. But I kept noticing a trend where people were like, hey, man, you're an awesome dad. You know, because in the videos, you would see me encouraging him and, you know, helping him out. And, you know, and he would make mistakes. I wouldn't bark at him. You know, I wasn't Joe Jackson. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, I let him do his thing and, you know, and just, you know, just loving on him online. And so a lot of people started asking me, what are your techniques? Like, you know, what are you... You know, you're an awesome dad. And so in the back of my mind, I was like, I just felt like I was doing what I was supposed to do as a father.
Right.
But, you know, I was kind of being labeled an anomaly, you know, and it's like, it was bittersweet because, you know, I accepted the accolades, but at the same time, I was like, this shouldn't be abnormal.
Exactly.
And then, you know, it was like, you're very good to be a black father. It's good to see a black father active in his son's life. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. But here again, this shouldn't be abnormal to us. And, you know, so people started hitting me up and, you know, asking me, kind of saying like, you know, hey man, I watched your video. It made me want to get back in my son's life. And me being a very personable guy, I was getting all of these messages and I couldn't reply to everybody because I'm still working 40 hours a week just like everybody else. And I just decided, hey man, I'll just write a book. And I just, you know, kind of jotted down, you know, a couple of principles that I live by, in relation to fatherhood, and made a book out of it. And the reason why I named it A Cape with Holes is because I feel like the kids, you know, sons in particular, they kind of look up to their dad as like their superhero. You know, I'm 42 years old. My pops is still my hero. Like, you know, I still lean on every word he says.
Right.
But at the same time, we're not perfect beings.
Right.
A lot of us have jacked up past. And so the cape, which is the superhero cape, yeah, but it has holes in it. You know, holes being, you know, those issues that you deal with, those
imperfections per se.
Absolutely. And so that's why I named it A Cape with Holes, because at the end of the day, you're still your kid's superhero.
Right.
Yeah. So that's in a nutshell, man.
You know, with the subtitle, because the subtitle to me resonates even more so. And I love your explanation of A Cape with Holes, but How to Be a Superhero Dad or Daddy really resonates with me because I have a son as well, a young son. He's 5.
Absolutely.
So I'm striving to be that each day. How do we as men, excuse me, typically as, you know, with large egos, how do we share our vulnerability with our children to help them grow? You know, because sometimes we get in our own way with, you know, being transparent to them, especially at a young age, can get in the way. So that's my question to you. How can some of our, you know, how can we share our vulnerability with them to help them grow?
That's a good question, Red. So I actually talk about this in a book where my son's name is Jordan, you know, and I talk about it in the book, and when I say I don't fully shield him from bad days. And the reason why I say this is because at the end of the day, your kids have to know that you are human. I gave an example in the book. I did not see my father, which is actually my stepdad, but I just call him my father because he was the only one that was there. You know, I didn't see him cry until I was a teenager, and that was when my grandfather, his dad, died. And the example I give in the book is because when they called us over to the house, we thought that he was just sick. And we walk in the house, and he was laying dead on the floor. And I didn't know what shocked me more was seeing my grandfather dead or seeing my dad break down. It was such a shock to me because I always felt like, you know, he's, you know, nothing can penetrate him. He's bulletproof. And that did something to me. And so I was like, you know, I have to let my son know, you know, not necessarily moping around and don't talk to me today, but, you know, just so I'm very transparent with my son. If he asks me, Daddy, how you doing? You know, I may say, well, you know, Jordan, Daddy's not having a real good day, but that happens. You know, we're going to be okay. You know, some days you may not have good days, but that's okay. That, you know, that doesn't make you less of a person. So I'm trying to instill that within him early so he doesn't have to live a life like a lot of us did, man. We have to shield stuff. We have to guard stuff.
Yeah, we got to tuck it in, man. We don't really have that outlet.
We have to bury stuff. And, you know, and like I say in the book, man, you know, if something is not dead, it's going to have to come up for air eventually. And it could be at the most inopportune time. So that's why I think we need to be transparent, you know, with our sons to, you know, to the place where they can understand and not, you know, and not confuse them.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely. So yeah.
So when talking about how this book is, you know, was conceived, you know, in your mind, you know, coming out on the back end of that, how do you think this book will actually inspire other Black men, you know, who have sons, and they may even be distant, you know, right now, or they may be really, really close with their son, but how do you want this to inspire them, or how do you think that it will inspire them?
The way I want it to inspire men is to let them know, as long as you are doing your best, that's all you can do. That is, if you're doing your best, that's all you can do. We learn every day. I'm at a point where my son now, he's six. And I'm basically like, whatever works for that day,
right.
You know, that's just, you know, that's what you have to do. And so, because I think a lot of fathers, man, are, you know, we deal with a lot of stuff. You know, we provide for them, you know, if you're married, provide for the family, and you know, it's a lot of stuff that we have to deal with. But if you're doing your best and you're making a fervent effort to be the best dad that you can be, that's all you can do.
Right.
And you can't beat yourself up. I mean, you know, you're going to have failures. I heard Will Smith say something. You know, we're practicing as fathers every day. And I heard Will Smith say something that was very profound. He said, practice is nothing but controlled failure. That just stuck with me. And, you know, so it's okay to, you know, it's okay to fail. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to make mistakes. We're all imperfect beings. But as long as you're trying and doing your best, you know, and you're holding yourself accountable, that's all you can do. That's really all you can do. So that's really the point I'm trying to drive home in this book. And just building a nurturing relationship with your son.
Man, with you saying that, it takes me back to me growing up, because my mm-hmm. father said that's exactly what his premise was. When I give him I would give him a report card, sure. And before he would open it, he would just look at me and say, "Did you do your best?"
Wow.
I mean, and I was an AP student for the most part, and, right. And he probably knew I did well, I fared well, but he would just say, "Did you do your best?" And if I said yes, you know, whatever my answer was, he would respond accordingly.
Sure.
But if I say yes, he'd say, "Hey, I don't need to look at it. And if I said no, then he'll say, well, why not? You know, what do I need to do? What do me and your mother need to do? You know, what tools, what extra tools do you need? And then he'll look at the card and we'll talk about it. So I think that is critical. Yes. What you just said is critical because it heightens. It made me think about being my best and doing my best, and that the man that I'm looking up to every day, as my hero, that's all he wants for me. He wants the best, and he wants me to give my best. So I congratulate you for that piece of it, and just wanted to share that with you as well.
Hey, well, check this out, Charles, man. When you talked about, you made an interesting point about what Will Smith said about practice being controlled failure. As far as practical application goes, what do you do with Jordan, man? Because he's real industrious when it comes to, you know, the work that he puts in with music. I know he's taken up a few more instruments too.
Right.
And then on top of that, I mean, he's really just now starting the quote unquote standardized education process as well. You know, he's in like first grade now.
He starts first grade in 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah. So with that being said, how are you going to manage the controlled failure, so to speak? Because, you know, he's not going to have a good day in school every day and things like that. But at the same time, you know, he's so prodigious in regards to what he loves to do, which is the music portion of it. How are you going to balance that? Because, you know, I know at this particular point, it's so fun to him and it's coming so easy to him.
Right.
What are you going to do when he kind of stumbles a little bit, a little bit in school or with anything else?
Well, one thing that I always did, Fresh, is music for him, it was all... Let me back up. So during the week, music is secondary. And actually now, he doesn't do it as much as he used to, which I'm very cool with because I want him to be well-rounded. Right. He's really into violin. He has a drum set at his mother's house that he plays. So he doesn't really do the production. He'll do it if he sees me doing it. He's like, yeah, let me hit these drums for you. But okay. But he doesn't do it as much. But music for him, like as soon as he started, that was a reward.
Okay.
So he knew, you know, if he didn't, you know, if he got a bad report at school or whatever, which he rarely does, and I'm not bragging, but he just doesn't. Jordan's a good kid. But, you know, if he did, hey, no music. And during the school year, like I said, you know, music is at the bottom of the list. Now, on the weekend, do your thing. But he knows that education is first. Like, I've already started him, you know, writing. You know, Jordan, write and tell me how your day was. So I try to keep that pattern.
Right.
You know, try to keep him in the pattern. But you know, if it does get to a point to where, you know, he's wilding out, hopefully he won't, you know, I will make sure that, you know, that's dealt with, and, you know, the production stuff, you know, that can wait. He's got his whole life to do that. And, you know, and he may not even, you know, a year from now, he may not even want to deal with it, and that's fine.
Yeah, that's how kids are, man. You know how, you know, they're, you know, interested 1 minute and don't want to be bothered with the next. But he's putting a lot of time on that, man. And he got a lot of people checking for him to see what kind of hot stuff he's gonna be making, man. I was looking at the post and be like, oh man, he's gonna be a beast at 18. I'm just like, dude, he's a beast at 4. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, you talked about the young kids, quote unquote, not respecting some of the elders and perhaps it's a failure on our part because we didn't and I'm hope I'm framing this the right way, and correct me if I'm not, but we don't practice nurturing type discipline.
Exactly.
Can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit and tell us what you mean by that?
Absolutely. I think it is a very it's a huge difference between punishment and discipline.
Okay.
And I think a lot of us grew up being punished and not disciplined, because when it's a punishment, it is what it is. That's, you know, that's absolute. You did this, this is your punishment, as opposed to discipline, because there's a lesson in discipline. There's, you know, there's a, you know, there's a positive backlash in discipline, even if you, you know, get a spanking. You know, if you're disciplined and telling them why this is happening, you know, so they'll know not to do it. Because I mean, let's just be honest, man. A lot of us grew up in fear. We would, you know, we were just scared we was gonna get a beating.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
that's all. That's the only thing you wanted to do, is you wanted to avoid getting your ass whooped. That was it.
Right. And it was a show of, you know, it was a show of force and a show of, you know, authority. You know, and but that was it. You get a beating and okay, not go play, and right. and no lesson was learned.
Right, right.
So, but I think when it's discipline involved, a nurturing discipline, you know, it's a lesson involved behind that. You're told why you shouldn't do this, the ramifications of that, and I think that's more effective than just boy get in that room and take your clothes off.
Right, right.
You know, Charles, I grew up. I was the oldest of two, and my sister is 5 years younger. Okay. And so anytime she and I would get into it, you know, to the point where, you know, my father's hurt enough, he would sit us in a room and have us hold hands until he'll come back. You know, it's hard for you to hold hands with someone you're arguing with, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So it's psychological, but at the same time, to what you're saying about discipline, I think that was like a form of discipline for me. Mm-hmm. Because eventually, like, he'll come back 10 minutes later. Have y'all made up? And we'll say, I'll say yes. And my sister be like, no, you know, so like, oh, come on, girl. So he'll come back 10 minutes later. Y'all made up? And I'll say yes. She'll say yes. And he'll say, well, what did you learn about this argument? Right. Why did you argue? So his discipline allowed me to, or allowed us to communicate with each other, so there is a positive result or outcome. So I think you were on point talking about discipline versus punishment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a huge difference, and I think, you know, us as a black race, you know, in general, you know, it's that's just our go-to.
Right.
You know, that's the first option.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I talk about that in the book, you know, where I talk, you know, it's a video. Y'all probably saw it, the little boy that was in the barbershop, and he was just wilding out, and it took like all of the men, you know what I mean? And everybody in the comments was saying he just need his butt whipped. And I'm like, it's kind of obvious that it's going to take more than that.
Right.
You know, and so that's why I talk about that, because I mean, if something's not working, then we need to figure out another way to do it. You know, beatings, they're effective to a certain extent, but you have to get to root of the problem, and I think sometimes we don't do that.
Right.
Do you think that it's the nurturing part of it, man? Do you think that the kids are maybe just trying to reach out for maybe the love that they're just not getting, and that all they see is the disciplinary side of parenting? Is, I mean, because I know that you're you know, educated in psychology or whatnot, so I mean, if you could just, is that something, or am I off base on that? I mean, is you know, can you speak to that? Because like I really feel like that kids will act out when they only have one side of, you know, of the parent's parenting skill. You know, if it's just one way all the time, they're going to naturally reach out for something that makes them feel better than what they feel. Or again, like I said, I could be just way off base, but that's just kind of what I see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of the time, I mean, from my experience and now, you know, being a dad, you know, a kid is going to do anything for attention, even if it's negative attention. they're going to do whatever it takes just to get attention. Okay, and sometimes, you know, and sometimes even if it, you know, if they do end up getting a spanking or something, you know, they got attention. And that kind of lets them know to a certain extent, well, you know, at least I'm getting noticed. It's funny, man. I remember, and this is kind of off base, but I remember Oprah was interviewing 50 Cent, right? And like a while back, they had like a little, kind of like a little beef, and 50 named his dog Oprah. Wow. And it was weird. And so Oprah actually ended up interviewing him a few years later, and you know, they kind of laughed it off. And she was like, well, why did you name your dog after me? And 50 Cent basically said, it got your attention though, didn't it?
Huh. Okay.
Like, yeah. And she said, okay. And he said, I just wanted you to notice me. And I was like, wow.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I think that's the same way with kids. They're gonna do whatever it takes to get some attention.
Right, right.
You know, and they're willing to get sacrifice, you know, getting a spanking. Right. But at least they were the center of attention at that time. And to a certain extent, it kind of shows that, well, they must love me enough even to discipline me. You see what I'm saying?
Right, so, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Your kids are going to do whatever it takes. Right. So, yeah.
Now, Charles, how has writing the book affected your relationship with other Black men you know?
Well, I mean, it's affecting me very, very good. And it's funny, man. But believe it or not, I have had more women buy the book than men.
Wow. Okay.
And the reason why is because they said, well, I'm trying to learn, you know, I want to see things from a male perspective.
Wow. That's interesting. Like, wow. That's yeah. Very interesting.
That's been the biggest consumer of the book. But you know, yeah, men, you know, it takes them a while to read stuff. So I haven't gotten a lot of feedback from that, but the few I have, you know, that they were saying that it touched a lot of places in them, you know, that were just kind of hibernated, you know, they were buried down, and it was, you know, they were pretty much telling me, you brought some stuff to the surface for me. And that's good to know, because, you know, they kind of let you know, you're going in the right direction.
Right. Right.
You know, you're going in the right direction. And, you know, it's just, and a lot of them, I think, are just, they're just proud to see, you know, a Black man be able to scribe and, you know, say things that they don't really know how to say.
Right.
So the response has been great. I mean, the response has been great, man. You know, and I'm very, you know, it's very humbling. And it's just good to know that, you know, you're touching lives.
Right. So, you know, so let me ask you this too, man. With the with the book being out now, like, say, is getting great reviews. Sure. You know, I bought 5 copies from you, you know, as soon as they were available.
I appreciate that too. So,
mm-hmm. They're still going out in the prize packs.
Okay.
Like I said, I mean, it's out there now. I mean, it's you can't pull it back. You know. So
right.
With that being said, what is it that, because I mean, you've had time, I mean, you wrote the book, so obviously you know the contents, but now that it's actually being absorbed and it's being shared and people are talking about it, but you know that a lot of the messages always get lost in translation when you know one person is talking to another,
right?
You know, even somebody that's bought the book, they may not receive it the way that you think that they would receive. And not saying that they would receive it in a bad way, but I'm just saying that the interpretation right. of the words may be different. And then they may impart that to somebody and they'd be like, well, no, I really ain't really feeling that. But it's not really what they're saying. So I know that that's something that you have to combat, just, you know, just being an author, or just being a person putting out any type of information. But since you have a captive audience right here,
mm-hmm.
what do you want people, what is in this book that you want people to grasp? If you just had to say, look, there are 2 things in this book that I need you to definitely grasp, and this is, if you don't get anything else, these 2 things are what I want you to get. So that way there's no misunderstanding about what's
right.
about what they should feel about it, what they should think about it. Give me two things, because I know there's many in there, but give me two main things that you would want people to get out of this book, regardless of how they're introduced to it.
The main thing I want people to get out of this book is sons, little boys, men need their fathers. It's imperative. Even if it's, you know, I know in some situations, you know, the father may be, you know, just not in their lives, you know, locked up, you know, I don't know. But they need that, a father in their lives, or either a father figure, be it a stepdad, a mentor, that's imperative. Like you have to have that. Because there's just some things women are not going to teach. And that's not to bash women at all. Because us as men, you know, I mean, I don't have a daughter, but Fresh, you have a daughter. You know, there's certain things you're not going to be able to teach her.
You're absolutely right about that, right. Man. Absolutely right.
Because you're not, you know, you're not a woman. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is I talk about nurturing a lot in this book. And I think a lot of, and I won't even say black men, I'm just saying men in general, were not nurtured by their dad, because a lot, you know, that's kind of looked at as, you know, that's the woman's job, but you know, it is, but father and son nurturing is imperative. It's key. I see that even with my relationship with my son. And I understand, you know, when Jordan gets older, you know, he's not gonna need me as much. But it's imperative. I even look at my dad now. I'm 42. You know, my dad's in his 60s, and he still nurtures me with just, you know, calls. Hey, man, call and see how you doing, man. Want to let you know I love you. You know, and that means the world to me. That means the world to me, even at being 42. Right. You know, just my pops calling, checking me. Hey, man, you know, he would still call me to this day, man, and say, hey, man, I just want to let you know I'm proud of you.
Right.
That's what's up, man.
It makes my day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it literally makes my day. And I think if we had more of that, I think we would progress a lot. So kids needing that, you know, sons needing their dads, and nurturing relationships. I think those are the two main points that I want to drive home in this book.
Okay. All right. That's what's up, man. And those are some really good points, man. I wanted to drop an extra question on you real quick, man. Because, you know, this podcast is, you know, we talk about a lot of different stuff, man. And but what we really want to get across to people is that it's paramount that we support each other, not only in our artistic endeavors, but also in our business endeavors. And, you know,
absolutely,
this book is for sale, that you're not giving this away.
Right.
So can you speak to the importance of supporting black businesses, man, because I know it's a little off topic, but again, you're selling a book. So, and you know, we want people to support it as well as other black businesses as well. But can you speak to that just for a second?
Absolutely. I mean, and I don't really think it's off topic, because the nucleus of all that is family. You know, whether it's writing this book or me supporting your podcast or the brother with the cologne, because, you know, we're all family and we have to sweat it. And I had this conversation at my job a couple of weeks ago. And so I work with mostly white men, and for some reason we were talking about the dentist, and I just happened to mention, yeah, I have a black female dentist. And they're like, wow, that's, you know, that's kind of odd. And I was like, yeah. I was like, but I sought her out. Like, I specifically said in my searchville, I'm looking for somebody that's African American. And they could not grasp that concept. And I got tired of trying to explain it to her, because they looked at that as being racist. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to have this conversation with you. So to answer your question, yeah, it's imperative, man, because we have to, for lack of a better term, we have to build our kind of our own economy.
You know, right.
We spend money everywhere else.
Except with us.
Except with, right. Exactly. But at the same time, we have to be worthy of somebody spending their money on us too. So we have to give out good product. And a lot of us do, but we have to support each other.
Right. Because, you know, and
yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot of good business people out there really trying to do their thing, man, that put forth the effort.
Right.
To try to deliver, quality products. And we want to reach as many people as possible.
Absolutely.
That are trying to do that, man. So, so to all the listeners out there, if you know somebody that has a business that's trying to get some traffic or something,
yeah,
hit us up, man. Hit us up. Charles, man, I'm giving out my phone number and stuff, man. Red's like, yo, dog, don't do that, man. Don't do that, man. But again, 704-946-6060, man. If you're a black business,
absolutely.
Holla at a player, man. We let's talk and let's help get you some shine.
And you know what?
You know, the only,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, not
to cut you off, Red, but one thing, I mean, not Red Fresh. One of the things I appreciate, when you first hit me up about the book and you were like, yo, man, I want to get 5 copies. I'm like, cool. One of the first things you said was, and I want to pay full price. Because I was going to be like, yeah, well, you know, I'll just, you know, send them. And you're like, nope, I want to pay full price. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. And I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we don't do freebies, man, unless somebody just insists on sending us something.
Yeah.
You try to buy up front, just like I'm engaging, like I'm a regular customer.
Absolutely.
Because everybody has a bottom line, man. So,
absolutely.
You know, that's my mantra.
Yes, sir.
Ain't no problem, man. Hey, but again, man, like I said, we appreciate you, you know, coming on, man. Again, the name of the book is A Cape with Holes, How to Be a Superhero Daddy by Charles L. Crouch. This is going to be a little bit off topic, man, because I don't know if you've listened to our last episode or not, Charles. Well, it's top 10 MCs, man. Top 10 MCs.
Oh boy.
And it is. And I know that you are a hip hop fanatic.
Yes, sir.
Real quick, man, you got to give us 10 to 1, your top 10 MCs, man. Your top 10 MCs.
Man, this can change every day. Okay. So let me get the standard off.
Okay.
Yeah, Rakim.
Okay.
Let me make sure I'm doing this right. So you got Rakim, KRS.
That's 10 and 9.
Say it again.
That's number 10. Rakim's number 10. KRS is number 9.
No particular order. No particular order.
We need an order, bro. We put it in order. See, we need an order.
Oh man. Okay. Number 1, Rakim.
Okay. Okay.
Number 2, KRS. 3, Kane. 4, Nas. 5, Chuck D. He slept on. I don't know why.
Bro, you just gotta listen. You gotta listen to the podcast because he's in my top 5 too. You gotta listen to it. You gotta check it out.
Right. I gotta put Thought in there, man. 6. Redman.
Oh. Reggie Noble. Ah.
Redman. Where am I at? 7?
That's 7.
Golly, man. Buster.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Buster. A lot of people sleep on this one too, but Tretch.
Wow. Oh. Man, yeah, we slept on him too. We slept on him too.
Tretch is a monster, man. And I got
top 10 though, man. I don't know. Keep going.
Tretch is a, and I got one more, I don't know. I would say 3 Stacks.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. but you know what though, man? Before we let you go, we analyze this real quick, man, because you pretty much have everybody that we said it would except Tretch and Three Stacks and Red Man. Busta was honorable mention for me.
Yeah.
But if you notice, he does not have Tupac or Biggie in his top 10. Thank you very much, Charles Crouch, because I knew you were a genius when we first talked.
You guys talked before the show, I'm sure.
No, we didn't talk before the show, but I knew you were a genius.
No. I think Pac was a good rapper. Now, as far as impact, I don't think nobody beats him as far as impact. But you said MC.
There you go.
And Biggie was good, but you know, I think Biggie was a good rapper. And here again is impact, you know. But a lot of people get on me about because I don't have Biggie in my top 10. I mean, Biggie was dope, but
yeah, I had him at 9, yeah. Man. I had him at nine. Yeah. So, listen to that podcast, man. Hit me up and let me know what you think, man. Because it's definitely gonna, because you know, I say it all the time, man. Top 10, top 5, or whatever. MCs, man, amongst us, like I said, it starts more fights than dice games, man. So
right,
you know how it go.
Right, and mine is always revolving, man. Because
you know who's gonna be mad though, right?
Who's that?
You know, John Black gonna be mad.
and I'll get off the phone.
You know he's gonna be mad.
I will get off the phone and be like, God, how did I forget him? So
right.
You know how it go, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know how it go. All right, man. Well, man, you got any last words for us, man? I mean, once again, ladies and gentlemen, the name of the book is A Cape with Holes: How to Be a Superhero Daddy, Charles Crouch. It's available what? Amazon
and Barnes and Noble as well.
Amazon and Barnes and Noble, right. Man. Y'all need to go check that out. It's a great book. Don't sleep on it, man. This isn't a good book just because it's a black man who's written it. This is a book that has information that can be practically applied to, you know, to any family. And it's good that one of the brothers has written it. However, it is good literature, and you need to go check it out. You need to get familiar. So you got any last words for us, man?
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. And one last thing, though. I am probably this week, it will be released on audiobook as well.
Oh, that's what's up, man.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what's up. So did you narrate it yourself?
I narrated it myself, man. Recorded it right here in my studio, and I just upload the files So that'll probably definitely by the end of the week that'll be done.
Okay, that's a hard process, ain't it?
Very hard.
All right, man. We appreciate your time, man. We appreciate you sharing this work of art with us, man. Again, everybody, I need to go out and support this man, A Cape with Holes: How to Be a Superhero Daddy, Charles Crouch. We appreciate you, man.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure, man. I really appreciate it, fellas.
All right, man.
All right, man.
Be good, be safe, and behave.
All right, we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say. And since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.